Good afternoon. Welcome to Midweek in Mayfair. My name's Matt Foy. I'm one of the apprentices at Christ Church Mayfair, one of the churches that supports these lunchtime talks. And we're looking at Proverbs chapter 6. Matt will be speaking to us. But before I read, let me pray. Father God, we do thank you for this time at lunchtime to hear you speak to us through your word. So pray now as we come to read these words from Proverbs, Matt comes to explain, and pray you'd give us hearts that are willing to listen. Help us also to work out how to apply these into our daily lives. Amen. Let me read verses 1 to 19. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbour, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbour's hands. Go and humble yourself and press your plea with your neighbour. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. And go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. These are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers.
So 1 week here in the book of Proverbs, next week we finish our time there. Matt Fuller will be back, he's away on a summer camp at the moment, but we'll be back next week, and then we have a short break in August, and then we get going again in September. But we're looking at this passage today, and I don't know if you spent your morning buying in gold, don't know if that's what you've been doing this morning as the euro slides, but it seems that every day there's a new way of dealing with debt. Every day something new that we try to do to secure things, because of course we all know how dangerous debt is. You don't need to live in Greece to know that. You can wake up in London, just have personal financial concerns, bills to pay, financial issues. And that is not new to our age, of course. It's not a new thing. So do you remember the character from the Dickens novel David Copperfield? Wilkins Micawber. Remember that that character? In and out of debt. He was based on Dickens' father, who was in and out of debtor's prison. And his maxim was this. Annual income, £20. Things were different back then. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £19.6. Results, happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £20.6. Result, misery. Misery. The misery of debt. It's not new to our age. It's not new to that age either. The Bible is very real, very relevant, as we look at this bit together about our lives. And what we saw last week, and what we see this week, is that the book of Proverbs puts its finger on 2 particular things that can unravel your life, unravel a family life as well. We saw last week that easy sex outside of marriage, sex as God did not intend it, can unravel a life. And this week it's easy money, money that is carelessly used can unravel an individual's life. And there are 3 ways into trouble in this passage, and therefore 3 things for us to watch out for. So carelessness, laziness and deceit can lead you into trouble in the financial arena. And so firstly, beware carelessness. Beware carelessness. So verses 1 to 2, here's the problem. This father speaking to his son, and he says, just watch out for this situation. You put up security for your neighbour. So your neighbour is in financial trouble. And your neighbour comes knocking on the door and says, I'm in dire straits. Can you help me out? And the son says, yeah, fine, no problem. Doesn't stop to think about it. Speaks before he thinks. But it turns out, just in his carelessness, doesn't think about that. Actually, he's promised more than he's able. More than realistically he can do. And the markets change. His assets aren't as good as they once were. And so now, verse 2, he's trapped. He's ensnared by the words of his mouth. He's given his pledge to someone, but actually he can't fulfill that. And he's now being sucked into the problem of this neighbour. Now what should he do? Verse 3. Do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you've fallen into your neighbour's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbour. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself. In other words, get out. Get out of this situation because you're not in control of it. And he says that will take humility. You'll have to go to him and say, look, I should not have done this. Shouldn't have done this. And it will need urgency. Allow yourself no sleep. Do it today. Because, verse 5, you're in a snare. The fly that touches down on a flypaper. I don't see it so much in this country because it's not been hot for a couple of months, has it? But when you put the flypaper up and the fly lands, you know it hasn't got long before it's actually caught there. It's got to get off quickly. You know, there's the gazelle in the hand of the hunter, the bird in the snare of the fowler. Get out. Because when your finances are unwisely, carelessly, in the hands of others, you're in an unsafe place. I don't know if, don't try this now, but take your wallet and see how happy you are to put that into the hand of someone else. It won't be long before you start to feel very uncomfortable because so much is tied up in there. If I put that into your hand, I must say I would be getting very jumpy. I would be watching you as you walked around the room. Because when our finances are unwisely in the hands of others, we're in a vulnerable place. And that's what's being said here. I just pause on that. The Bible and Proverbs encourage generosity through and through. Encourage care for those in difficult situations. That includes both the planned and the spontaneous, both of those. But there is a call for wisdom as well. In that, and that's what's being told to this son. So think of a girl at church who's got herself into a bad way and has approached a number of people for financial help. And what we've said to them is, by all means, be generous, but be wise as well. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to be wise so that you don't end up in a similar situation just through being carelessness. So let's talk about this. Let's work out a strategy for helping someone out of this situation. Let's plan to do that, rather than just quickly giving our word and then getting caught in that. In other words, don't let the lifeline that you offer to others become a noose for you. It's really what this is saying. Now, how do we apply that to our personal life, to our business life? I don't think, for example, this is, of course, the area of debts and loans. I don't think the Bible says it's wrong to take a mortgage. That'd be a secured loan. We could talk about that, but it would say be cautious. Don't assume that present conditions now will be what they are in the future. Now, we've learned that nationally, globally, of course, that present conditions don't stand. But it's a reminder to us at the personal level, because debt is an enslaving reality for many. So students, particularly in our culture, come out of university with huge debts. Credit cards offer us easy money. And so here's a principle from these first few verses, which is put your energies, if you're in debt, to getting out of it. Think about the lifestyle expectations that you are living with. Are they sustainable? Are they realistic? I heard this interesting statistic that a study of evangelical Christian couples would show that the majority live at 109 to 115% of their income. That's what they live at. They live at that level, just on a day-to-day sort of spending of that. So here is a warning, mainly about an attitude of just carelessness with money. Don't do that. And you would say as well, if you're sitting here and thinking, I have been careless and now I'm in danger, then these verses would say, get out. Do what you can. Don't hang about on that. Talk to others. Talk to people here. We'll have wisdom in that. So there's the first danger. Beware carelessness. Here's the second. Beware laziness. Beware laziness. Verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Well, there you are. There's a fairly full-on statement. Go to the ant, you sluggard. In other words, talking to a lazy guy, he's a sluggard, he's lazy, he's a layabout. And he's told, if you want to learn good business practice, don't read the glossy magazines. Don't learn from those in your office. Just walk outside and find the nearest ant that you can find and study. It's very humbling, isn't it? It's like saying to a brilliant artist, go and spend some time with the primary school children who do their potato printing and pick up a few tips from them. It's very humbling. And that's what he's saying. He's saying to the lazy person, go and study the ant, consider its ways. Now, what's so impressive about the ant? Well, verse 7. The ant is a self-starter. Has no commander over it breathing down its neck. It just gets on. It's an entrepreneur in many ways. It just gets on with things. Verse 8. It's a storer. It gets ahead. It scurries around. So the Bible wouldn't say that it's wrong to say, not wrong to do that. I mean, here's an example. He puts things aside. We want to get those things in balance, of course. Wesley famously said, make all you can, give all you can, save all you can. Make all you can, save all you can, give away generously as you can. But here is a guy who's a layabout. He's just lazy. The harvest is there. Everything's ready, but he is in bed. He said, yeah, I know it's harvest time, but I'm fine. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more sleep. Do you see that? When you get up from your sleep, just a little bit more. He's lazy, just a little bit more. He doesn't hit the snooze alarm for another hour. He just sort of bites it off in 6 minute chunks. That's how he lives his life. Just a little bit more. And so the harvest is gone. And the warning to him is verse 11. Poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. So poverty comes like a bandit, a vagrant, a wanderer. The point is, you never know when they're going to show up. I remember in the town that I grew up in, there was a lad who was, I guess he was a wanderer. He would just sort of arrive. You know, he'd be there for, you know, 3 Saturdays in a row. He'd be down at the station, hanging around, and then he'd disappear for 2 months. No one ever knew where he went, and then he'd be back again. He's just a wanderer. And the point is, poverty won't tell you that it's coming. It won't say, can I book in for an appointment next Thursday? I'll be coming. Just a wanderer. Just turns up. You can't tell when it will happen. Well, secondly, poverty comes like an armed man. Scarcity like an armed man. In other words, when it comes, it doesn't take no for an answer. It forces itself upon you into every corner of your life. That's what poverty does. So it's a warning against laziness. Now, I imagine, as I thought about this, I wouldn't have thought in the current economic climate that many of us are particularly systematically lazy. We don't feel that we can afford to be. Many of us probably need to hear the opposite. Maybe we overwork. But it may be that you're sitting here and you're in the middle of a deal and you think, actually, to close this one out, it's going to take quite a lot of time. It's going to be more hassle than it's worth. It's going to require admin and decisions. Maybe I'll just let this one go. And here's an encouragement. Get up and do it. Or maybe in the personal area. Maybe actually just lazy personally about your finances. You don't sit down and do a budget. You haven't checked your finances recently. You're not sure quite where all of the money is going. You just haven't sat down and done that recently. Here's an encouragement. is an encouragement just to sit down and be prudent, not to be lazy with the money that God has given us. So beware laziness. And then finally, beware deceit, verse 12. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eyes, signals with his feet and motions with his finger, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. I don't know if you're a devotee of the TV show The Apprentice. I don't know if you watch that or you don't, but you watch that, and it is the cutthroat world of business. It is very much winks and nods and controlling and manipulating. And you think, actually, this is some of the stuff that isn't just TV, this is reality TV. This reflects a lot of what we sometimes experience in our lives, in our business world. And so there is a call here to watch out for villains and not to become one. Not to manipulate things with our speech. So here's a guy who assumes that he can just twist the truth a little bit, just spin the accounts very slightly, just to massage the figures a bit, so that he's protected and others take the rap. He controls people, he winks, he signals, he sends emails that just play him onside and play others offside. He just controls things a bit. He plans a wicked scheme. And what's he doing? He's trusting himself to get out of a situation rather than the Lord. He's trusting himself. He's controlling things, manipulating things, pulling the strings behind the scenes rather than trusting in the Lord. And throughout the book of Proverbs, we've heard that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And here is a man who says, my control, my manipulation is the beginning of wisdom. But we're told that the Lord hates that, verse 16. The first mention in this passage of the Lord, but of course he's been behind it all. But we get these six things or seven things that they turn out to be. That's a Hebrew way of saying these things the Lord really hates. We get these things that the Lord hates. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, a heart that plans a wicked scheme. So it's a warning against deceit. And the interesting thing is that you put these three things together, these three warnings, and they form something of a progression. So first of all, there is just carelessness with money. And then laziness, just to get yourself out of the situation. And that in turn leads to having to do wicked things to get your way out. Do you see there's a progression in there? No one ever plans to defraud a bank and bring it down. I mean, some do. But usually the last step is just a small step after many other steps that have been made before. And that's true in our lives as well. That we have to manipulate ourselves out of situations because we didn't take action when we should have at the start. We were careless. And we were lazy about things. Just let things go on. And then eventually, we had to do something. And the only way out was for me to control it, rather than trust the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is, of course, why Jesus Christ is held up to us as our Saviour, who pays for our failure in this area, and our example. Because Jesus Christ, if you took this list of his verse 17, you would see that Jesus' eyes were never haughty or proud. Jesus' tongue was never a lying tongue. Jesus never shed the blood of innocent. In fact, the complete opposite happened. His blood was shed at the hands of violent men. Jesus Christ is the true one who teaches us how to live. He's the Saviour who paid for our failure and the example for us to follow in this area. So there's an encouragement to us to beware carelessness, laziness and deceit. Let me just finish with the example of a man who followed his Lord in these areas, I think, in a striking way. We've probably mentioned him before here, a businessman called John Lang. Many of you will have heard of him. The construction industry, a Christian businessman in charge of a multi-million pound firm. He died in 1978. And in each of these areas, there are striking examples of how he lived. He was a careful and a generous man to the poor in his company. So one story, he was talking to one of his employees, discovered that the employee's wife was sick, and so he disappeared off, and he came back and he checked out that the story was true. Indeed, that's what the case was. And unprecedentedly in those days, he just said, off you go, 2 weeks, look after your wife, go and look after her, on full pay, unprecedented in those days. He funded huge amounts of organisations, so some will know of Tyndale House or the Bible College in Northwest London, the London Theological Seminary, funded by him. Raised the money and put that into Christian Publishers, into Varsity Fellowship. Put a huge amount of money into that. He wasn't a lazy man. He worked incredibly hard. He put accurate costings on bricks during the First World War to work out how much everything was going to cost. He developed concrete during that period, and the business took off as a result of that. And he was a man who kept his word. He was a sinner like you and me, but he was a striking example of a man who was true to his word. So again, on one occasion, he discovered that the approach road that the company had made to a factory was a quarter of an inch thinner than they'd promised to this company. And so he said, we've got to tear the road up and start again. He took the cost to himself of doing that. And when he died, he had this multi-million pound firm, land, and yet people discovered that his estate, as he gave so much away, was worth just £371. He was a generous man. He was a generous Christian man. And in this area of finances, he was a striking example of a man who wasn't careless, lazy, or deceitful. So a question for us as we finish. Is the Lord at the centre of our financial life? That's the call here, to have the Lord at the centre of how we think about our money. Maybe three questions for us as we think about this, as we go out now. Three questions for you today. First, is there a situation today where you need to get out? Is that possible? Be careless, you need to deal with that. Secondly, is there a situation you need to get up? It's being lazy in an area of thinking about your money. Well, get up. Thirdly, has there been deceit? Do you need to get real with someone? Do you need to get real and not spin things anymore and trust the Lord in this situation? Well, let's pray for the Lord's help in that. Father, thank you for your word to us. And we pray that if there are particular things that we're aware of here where we need to take action, that you would give us strength to trust you and not to trust ourselves, knowing that the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom, is the wise way forward, whatever that costs. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Should we take a second just to see if there are one or two questions you want to ask about that? Yeah.
It's not a question, it's just a
observation.
A commendation of a course actually called the CAP Money Course, which is CAP stands for Christians Against Poverty, and it is excellent advising people who find themselves in money management problems. I've just been running courses, finished last night, and I'm always amazed at some of the budget key skills that many of us take for granted because we had given to us through our families and upbringing. Lots of Christian people don't have, and find themselves in circumstances with simple advice and budget practice can resolve. So, if you know people, I'll just commend that for us.
So, Tom, just say it again. CAP, Christians Against Poverty, how can people find out about that?
It's a website.
Okay.
It's always a good first place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
And there's also Crown Financial Ministries.